Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Saha Viryam Karavavahai, Tejasvina Vatitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
One verse 158.
Prashnotarapyam evaitat, Prashnotarapyam evaitat, Gamyatarjuna Krishnayoho, Anicca Purvakam Chasti, Prarabdham Iti Tat Shrinu.
Remember, in this section, we're dealing with the three types. Prashna uttarabhyam eva etat gamyate Arjuna Krishnayoho anicca purvakam cha asti prarabdham iti tat shrinu. In this section, we're dealing with the three types of prarabdha karma, right? Three ways of initiating the prarabdha karma. The prarabdha karma are those karmas that are fructifying in the form of this life, that have caused you to take this birth and will take you all the way through the life. And so, how does the prarabdha karma initiate you into action? This is in a threefold way. The first way we've done, swecha, through your own desire, the desires that will actually rise up in the psyche, that those desires being born of the prarabdha karma. And those desires themselves will initiate action. The next one that we're going to deal with now is what we call anicca. Anicca means it's not through your own desire. It's not through your desire that you're initiated into action. You don't desire it, in fact. And so that's what we're going to look at, what he means by that. I was reading through what Vidyarani has to say, and there's different ways of looking at that, so we'll look at all the different ways. So that's anicca, not desired. And the third way is anyecha or parecha, means being drawn in by somebody else. So these three types of desire are what motivates a person into action to take them through the prarabdha. And those types of desires or non-desires, we'll see what he has to say about that, is the kind of the gasoline that causes you to move, what actually moves you. So here he's going to talk about anicca, the anicca prarabdha it's called. So this is just an introductory verse. He says, Prashna uttarabhyam. Prashna is question, uttara answer. By the kind of question-answer between Arjuna and Krishna, Arjuna Krishna Yoho. So, through a question-answer in the Bhagavad Gita, which he's going to give in the next three verses, through a question-answer in the Bhagavad Gita between Arjuna and Krishna, this prarabdha karma, this type of anicca karma is made clear. So it says, anicca purvakam chasti prarabdham iti tat shrinu. Listen to what Krishna has to say. Tat shrinu, listen to this. Shrinu means listen. May you listen to this. This prarabdha, which is accompanied with anicca, means is being instigated by anicca, a non-desire. Okay, so it's called anicca. Prarabdha karma. And Krishna is talking about this to Arjuna. So he's citing these. Now I'm going to cite these three verses. So let's chant this verse. This next verse is from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, verse 36. So in the Bhagavad Gita students, we've already gone through these verses here. So, atakena prayuktoyam. Atakena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaha papam charati purushaha anicchan api varshneya
anicham napivarshreya baladeva niyojitaha baladeva niyojitaha.
In this verse, Arjuna asks Krishna a question. He says, "Atta," is just a now then, after he's been talking, now Arjuna says, "Now then. Ayam purushaha, this person, impelled by what? Kena priyuktaha ayam purushaha, a person impelled or pulled, you know, incited by what? Engaged by what? Papam charati, commits sin. That's a papa. A person compelled by what? Does a papa, anichan api, even though not wanting to. Anichan, present participle. Anichan api, even though not wanting to, they commit a papa. What is causing them to do that? Because they don't want to do it, right? So that's the condition. Not wanting to, they're still impelled to commit a papa. So it goes, hey Varshneya. Varshneya is a name for Lord Krishna, the one who is born of the that particular clan. The Vrishni, born of the Vrishni clan. So he says, hey Varshneya, hey Krishna. Even though not desiring, balat even niyojitaha, they're as though engaged or pulled or pulled into it as though by force, forcefully, as though by force. Balat means force. As though pulled into that behavior as though by force. What is it that causes a person to do that? What is pulling them? What is making them do something that they don't want to do? In fact, there's other verses in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna is talking about the same, some things like, and this is also, Paul says this in the Bible, you know? Mm-hmm. Why do I do those things that I know that I shouldn't do, and I don't do the things that I know that I should do? What is wrong with me? Why do I do that? Why is that? How is that possible? You know? And here it's, impelled by what force do I commit a papa, even though not desiring, not wanting to? What is that? So he asked this question to Krishna. And so Krishna, now these two verses, one verse is the very next verse, and the next, and the verse after that we'll be looking at is from the 18th chapter. So we go from the third chapter to the 18th chapter. He's pulled out these verses. So let's look at the way that Vidyaranya is answering this through Krishna. Kama eva krodha eshaha. Kama esha krodha eshaha. Kama esha krodha eshaha. Rajoguna samudbhavaha. Rajoguna samudbhavaha. Mahashano mahapapma. Mahashano mahapapma. Vidyenam iha vairinam. Vidyenam iha vairinam. Kamaha eshaha. Krodha eshaha. Rajas from rajo. Guna samudbhavaha. Mahashanaha mahaashanaha. Mahashanaha mahapapma. Vidhi enam iha vairinam. This is also a famous verse. Now this is Krishna answering Arjuna here. So what causes me to do papa, even though that isn't my intent, what I want to do? What is forcing me to do that? First answer, kamaha. Kamaha is causing this. Kama means desire. Kamaha eshaha. This is kama that causes this. And this kama is also krodha. We'll look at that in a minute. There's a direct relationship between kama and krodha. Krodha means anger. This is kama and krodha. It is desire, and on the other side of it, it is anger. Rajoguna samudbhavaha, which is a product, which is born, which is produced by the rajoguna. Remember, if we think at the whole Maya Upadi, this whole creation. Is if we look at its, what is this creation made of? Sattva, rajas, and tamas, right? Three gunas. So the sattva principle is what allows for intelligence, for knowership, my sense organs and my mind. And when the mind is also in terms of quality, when the mind is peaceful and reflecting consciousness, that's sattva. But just the fact that I can have sense organs and a mind that enjoy consciousness, that's the sattva guna, that which reflects consciousness. The rajoguna, rajas, is that which is responsible for all movement, all energy, activity in the creation. That's rajas. But in reference to the mind, rajas is a quality. Rajas is responsible for agitation, anger, irritability, any type of tension and anxiety. All of these things that involve movement, right? When the mind is anxious or uptight or tense or steaming, you know, boiling, like if you say my mind is boiling, boiling over with anger. Right. That's the rajoguna. Kama also, desire also, makes the mind pursue. Kama, desire, makes the mind pursue. So that's considered as rajas. So now there's an interesting little debate. It's in this Bhasha, and I've seen it elsewhere in this commentary. I've seen it elsewhere also. But the question is this, if this whole creation is made of these three gunas, sattva, rajas, and tamas, tamas is responsible for all of the names and forms, the inertness, the matter, the material. You know, tamas is the one, the tamoguna, responsible for inertness. Tamas is that subtle element that has gone through this process of becoming fivefold to make this physical universe that we experience through our sense organs, right? This physical universe that we see. The mind is still on the subtle level. So anyway, that's the tamas. Tamas in terms of quality of mind, if you say, oh, my mind is so tamasic, it means it's slothful, dull, inert, stupid, full of delusion. That's the idea of tamas, slothful, dull, inert, tamas. Rajas, agitated, irritated, angry, it's rajas. Sattva, for quality of mind. Sattva, peaceful, shantavritti, reflecting ananda, full, complete, blissful, shantavritti. Mm. Right? That's the sattva. Mm. And so now, if we say that this whole creation is a mix of sattva, rajas, and tamas, these are the three strands of maya. So what they say now is that there's a little debate, and it can be kind of go both ways. The question is this. When a desire arises in the mind, does that give rise to the rajas? Does the rise of a desire in the mind give rise to the rajas, which causes all this agitation? Or is it the rajas that gives rise to the desire? So this is the kind of a debates that they have. But the idea here is that in any case, kama, it's desire that causes the mind to go out and to pursue. What they say krodha is, anger. Anger is thwarted kama. Thwarted desire is what leads to anger. So actually, kama and krodha are the same thing. It's just that krodha, anger, is kama, is desire when it's being thwarted. And so it's a different emotional experience, but it's like it's a modification of desire. Because without the desire, there's no reason for the krodha to rise. Desire means that I want something to be in a particular way. I want this. It can be very subtle, you know. I want my mind to be like this. I want the world to be like this. Or I want this person to be like this. Or, you know, I want this movie to end like this. It doesn't make any difference. It's a want. If the want is there, if that want is thwarted to the degree that, depending on how big the want is, will depend on how big the reaction is when it's thwarted. And so krodha, and of course krodha has many, anger has many different variants. It could just be a little irritation, like a little anger, and it's irritable or it's an annoyance. These are all just little forms of krodha. It's irritable. It's irritating me. It's how annoying. Or It can go as far as livid, boiling rage, you know, overwhelming rage. So krodha, from little irritation to overwhelming rage. That's all krodha. And all of that has to do, anger, and all of that has to do with thwarted desire. So what this verse says is this. This kama, which is krodha, this kama, which is really krodha, krodha is just another variation of it, is born of this rajas guna, right? And it is kama. So we'll look at it as kama, which has its underbelly of krodha. This kama is mahashanaha. It is gluttonous. It's a great eater. It's a glutton. Means that you can never feed kama enough. You can never satisfy kama. In fact, kama, desire, in the previous verse that we did, is called anala. We did this anala in the Approachana Buddhi on Saturday. Analaha. Anala means for fire. It's a name for fire. Fire, anala, is that which is never satisfied. Right? Alam means enough. Analam, not enough. The fire is never satisfied. They use fire as an example for kama. Because they've used this as the example. If you're doing, having a Vedic ritual, and you're offering into the fire ghee, right? The more ghee you offer, the more, the bigger the kama, the bigger the fire becomes. It doesn't, as you're offering the ghee into the fire, it doesn't say, stop, I've had enough. It just continues to say, give me more. So they call kama. That's an example. Fire is often an example for kama. So here, kama, desire, is like, to, it's said to be mahashanaha. It's the great eater. It's greedy. It's gluttonous. It never feels satisfied. And because of that, it's also mahapapma. It's greedy, gluttonous. You can never satisfy it. And it is the great sinner. Kama itself is the great sinner. Because it's the great sinner because it is behind all of the problems that we have. Thwarted kama. Right? Thwarted kama is what causes me. Kama can cause me to be adharmic. Just kama, desire itself. Because I want this so that I can be happy. And my happiness means a lot to me. So that's the delusion. I want this so that I can be happy. And sometimes I'll find myself willing to even give up dharma or proper behavior in order to fulfill the desire, fulfill that need. If the kama weren't there, then I would just do what's to be done in the situation. But if the kama is there, the kama will compete with dharma. Right? And then the kama turned krodha, the desire, that once that desire turns into anger, then I lose the buddhi, right? Once the anger comes, the anger can cause absolute loss of buddhi or loss of control. And then I can do just about anything. And so now, with the kama and krodha, I can find myself doing what I know I shouldn't do, what goes against my values, I can be what I don't want to be. I can act in a way that I have no value for. I can do actions that go against who I am. That's what Vidyaranya, that's the emphasis he's putting on anicca karma. In other words, the creation can set up situations for me where I'm impelled, I find myself impelled to do things that are against what is good for me. And he's calling that anicca karma. When Swamiji usually is talking about anicca karma, he's not usually talking about it in this way. When Swamiji talks about it, he's saying the creation itself provides situations where, like it or not, it is your duty, right? You are impelled to act in that situation, dharmically. You're impelled to act in that situation. Like it or not, it's your duty, the creation It's either your duty or the creation creates that situation where you need to, you're forced to act in that situation. It doesn't have anything to do with kama and krodha, right? It just has to do with the creation creating the situation that you find yourself impelled to engage in, because the creation has created that type of situation for you. So that's how I'm used to seeing the anicca karma. But it's interesting to see how Vidyaranya is working with this. And now in this next verse he goes clear to the 18th chapter and uses another verse by of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. So let's look at that one too. Swabhava jena kaunteya nibaddha swena karmana kartum nechasiyan mohat karishasya vashopitat. He says to Arjuna, hey Kaunteya, son of Kunti. Kunti was his mother. Hey Kaunteya, nibaddha, a person is nibaddha, is bound. Nibaddha means bound. Swena karmana, one is bound by their own karma. Here karma is referring in the Bhasha, they're taking swena karmana to be one is bound by one's own prarabdha karma. The prarabdha karma that unfolds. This is more in Swamiji's line. One is bound by their own prarabdha karma. Swabhava jena, swabhavaja, which is born of one's own swabhava. In other words, your prarabdha karma, who you are as a person in this world, the person that you are, the temperament that you are, the inclinations that you have, the desires that you have, the talents that you have, different capacities that you have, are all suited for your prarabdha karma. So if you find this, you find yourself in this prarabdha karma, you as a jiva, and you are bound by that karma that you find yourself in. You can't get out of it. If you think you're getting out of it, well, that's just your prarabdha karma moving you over from point A to point B. So the prarabdha karma encircles you. You are the, you and your life is the prarabdha karma. And so you're bound by that. There's no way for you to get out of that. And so then it says, kartum na ichasi. He says, yet that which ichasi, na ichasi, you do not desire kartum, that which you don't desire to do, karishasi, you will do, because of delusion, avashaha api, being as though avashaha, as though you are helpless, as though you are under the control of somebody else, you'll do those things as though being helpless. So he says, because of moha. So swabhava jena kaunteya nibaddha swena karmana kartum na ichasi yan mohat karishasi avashaha apitat. This is Krishna in the 18th chapter talking to Arjuna. And in fact, in the verse that comes after that, he says, because of this maya, we're as though robots. He says that we're as though robots being shunted about from point A to point B to point C because of the force of the prarabdha karma and the sattva rajas and tamas. So it's very interesting. And sometimes, and I was trying to think, why is Vidyaranya approaching it in this way? And then if you think, he's using the power. He's using the power of your desire and your anger to make you understand the force of the maya upon you as a jiva. It's tremendously strong. Like if you've ever been angry, for instance, if you've been somebody who's made you angry, there's a tremendous pressure that can build up in that state of anger that will cause you to act or cause you to say something, you know, cause you to retaliate, cause you to do an action, even though that is not what you want to do. And so he's decided to use this in the Kama and Krodha, because just in terms of you as an individual, your own personal Kama and Krodha, you can see how the force of the what we call the prakriti, the sattva, rajas, and tamas, the force of the prakriti, it is much, can be much stronger than your own buddhi, right? It can impel you into action. And so what he's saying is, like that, the force of your prarabdha karma impels you. It compels you into action, even if it's something that you really don't want to do. Still, the prarabdha is balat. Balat means it is stronger. It has the strength. If we're to put the prarabdha karma on the one hand and you on the other, you know, on a kind of a scale, here's the prarabdha karma and here's the jiva, it is like this.
In every case?
It's like this in every case. Because there really isn't any separation between the jiva and the prarabdha karma. Right? There's no separation. It all comes as one package. Krishna is using the term moha here, which is important because Vidyaranya, as he's going to unfold this, what is the difference between a jnani? Moha means delusion. What is the difference between a jnani who's living out the prarabdha karma and has these three types of things that impel you into action? You know, one's own desire, those things that are not desired but impel you into action anyway. And then, as we'll see, the third one, the desires that come from another. What is the difference? Because these are there for the jnani and the ajnani. The prarabdha with these three forces are there for both. So what's the difference? Then, in fact, he's going to bring in a doubt. Well, what is the difference then? What is the difference? That doubt is coming. And so he has to unfold what is the difference in terms of moha, in terms of delusion, in terms of how my antakarna, how my mind is present to and responding to these various desires. So we'll get into that. For now, let's move on with this because it doesn't deserve a lot of too much energy here. Nanin chanto nache chantaha. Nanin chancho nache chantaha. Paradakshinya samyutaha. Paradakshinya samyutaha. Sukha dukkhe pajante tat. Sukha dukkhe pajante tat. Parecha purva karmahi. Parecha purva karmahi. Na anichantaha. Nacha ichantaha. Paradakshinya samyutaha. Sukha dukkhe pajanti. Etat para icha purva karma hi. Now he's talking just briefly. He's going to talk now about the third type, parecha. Means the prarabdha karma that impels you into action. You're impelled into action by another person. So he says, na anichantaha, not desiring. No, anichantaha, not desiring. Nacha ichantaha, desiring. Not that either. Paradakshinya samyutaha. Rather, a person who is compelled, associated with compassionate sympathy, compassionate care, dakshinya, compassionate care for another person. Because of your concern for another person, because of that concern, bhajanti, those people find themselves experiencing sukha and dukkha, pleasure and pain. They get pulled into their karma, experiencing pleasure and pain. Why? Because sukha dukkha means pleasure and pain. Why do they get pulled into engaged in their karma in that way? Because of their care or love for compassion for another person. The needs of that other person draw you into the situation. So he says, etat parecha purva karma epi. That prarabdha karma is called parecha. right? That which causes you to be drawn in by another person, and then you're caught into situations that cause pleasure and pain, situations that you never, something you didn't want to get into them. You didn't. It wasn't. You were negative toward it, and you weren't positive toward it. It basically had nothing to do with you. You got sucked into it because of your care for another person. That's that one. So those are the three karmas. So he just mentions that one. But now the question comes in, all right, you're talking about the jnani being sucked into sukha and dukkha, pleasure and pain, getting engaged in the creation in this way, just like an ajnani. That doesn't make any sense. How could that be? How could it be that a jivan mukta, somebody who's liberated, is still suffering from all of this? So now he has to explain that. So let's look at this verse, 163. Katam tarhi kimichan iti. Katam tarhi kimichan iti. Eva micha nishidyate. Eva micha nishidyate. Necha nishiddak. Necha nishiddak kim. Oh, I have to break this in the bit middle. Necha nishiddak kim twitcha. Necha nishiddak kim twitcha. Bodhabharajita bijavat. Bodhabharajita bijavat. Katam tarhi kim itchan. Iti evam icha nishidyate. Na icha nishedaha kintu icha bodha barajita bijavat. It says, if you're saying all of this, remember this whole chapter 7 is based on this one verse, the initial verse that goes, Atmanam chait vijaniyat ayamasmi iti purushaha. Kim ichan kasya kamaya shariram anisanjure. It says, if a person should know the self as I am this, to have direct knowledge, so you're a jnani, you know yourself. Clearly, aparoksha jnani, you know yourself. Then the verse, second line of the verse says, kim ichan, then desiring what? Kasya kamaya, desiring what and for whose sake? Why? Desiring what? Does one worry about or sweat over? Literally says it, sweat over, get all flustered, get overheated by the body, with the needs of the body. Why do they get, why do they sweat over it? What is the problem? Desiring what? So the answer, the idea in this, desiring what, means they don't desire anything. This is not a problem. Why? Because they know the self. I am all Ananda. So in this verse, Kimichan, if this verse is true, then how can you be saying all of this about the prarabdha karma and experiencing the sukha dukkha? How can that be? Isn't it a conflict? So he says, katam tarhi, how then, kim ichan, this, he's taking it right from the verse, desiring this, kim ichan iti, desiring what? In this manner, in that verse, icha nishidyate, desire itself is negated in that verse. Yeah? How can that be, if what you're saying is true, how can desire itself be negated in that verse? So he answers, Na'icha nishedaha. The desire is not negated. This is for the jnani. Na'icha nishedaha. The desire is not negated. Kintu icha bhadaha. Bharjita bijavat. Rather, he says, kintu means rather. Icha bhadaha, the desire is sublated, like a burnt seed. Bharjita means burnt or fried. Bija is seed, like a seed that you will sprout. So bharjita bijaha is often called dagda bija, like a burnt seed, fried seed. Bharjita actually means fried or roasted. This is the idea. What he's trying to do now, what is the difference between a jnani who is experiencing a desire that engages you in prarabdha, or an ajnani? What is the difference? Because both are desires. But for the jnani, the desire is likened to a burnt seed. Because a burnt seed or a fried seed is something that you'll see in the next verse. A fried seed is something that you can use for eating. You know, it's still there. You can still experience it. You can still see it. You can eat it, you know. But it itself can't sprout anything. It itself can't cause any effect, right? It's no longer alive to cause an effect. And so he says, for a jnani, it's not that the jnani has no desire. So it's na icha nishedaha. The desire itself is not negated. It's not that it doesn't exist. Instead, the desire is badaha, sublated. So, this word sublated means what? It means the desire can come, but the way that you respond to the desire is different than the way that an agnani responds to the desire. So it's a transformed desire. In other words, for the agnani, the desire template is, I want this so that I can be happy. For the jnani, it's, I want this, but not so that I can be happy. That part has been removed by knowledge, okay? That I need this in order to be happy. That's not there in the mind of the jnani. And so even though the desire is there, it's a dugdha bija, it's a varjita bija, it's a burnt seed, because it doesn't have the capacity to drag me into the samsara of thinking that my ananda, my well-being, my wholeness, is dependent on the fulfillment of this desire. That kartritvam, bhoktritvam just simply is not there. And at the same time, the desire has risen. The desire is impelling me into motion. But the buddhi, there's nobody inside that is believing this to be satyam, believing this to be true. Right? And so, even though I'm going along and I'm being carried along with my prarabdha, and I don't have much choice in the matter, but the way that I'm holding the whole thing is completely different. So he says it's like a burnt seed. The desire is sublated. It's not negated. It's not that it's non-existence. It's sublated. It's transformed in that I'm holding it in a different way. And it no longer has that capacity to drag me into the samsara. And so now he explains this dugdha bija, this varjita bija. Bija seed, varjita means fried. So, varjita ani to be jani, satyakarya karani cha, vidvati cha, tateshtavya, vidvati cha, tateshtavya. Asatva bodhan nakarya krit. Parijitani tu bijani santi akarya karani cha vidvat icha tata ishtavya. Ishtavya asatva bodhat na karya krit. He says, varjitani to bijani, seeds which are burnt, santi, they are akarya karanani. They are not able to do what they're supposed to do. A seed is supposed to be able to sprout, but these are akarya. These seeds are karanani, their activity is akarya, won't fructify. Right? Because the seed has been fried, it can no longer, or roasted, it's no longer capable of doing what it is meant to do, okay? Because it's fried. They said, similarly, the desire of a vidvan, vidvat icha, tata, similarly, the desire of a vidvan, he says, ishtavya asatva bodhat, because of the knowledge that this object of desire is asatva, is not real, right? Because of the knowledge of the asatva, the mityatva, of that which is desired, ishtavya, that which is desired, the asatva, mityatva, right, asatva, the mityatva, bodhat. Because of the knowledge of the mityatva of this whole thing, then what? That desire of the vidwan, nakaryakrit, is not able to do its job fully, right? Krit means it is a doer of it's meant to produce an effect. The icha, your desire, is meant to produce an effect in you, right? I want this so that I can be happy. That is a setup. That's a huge setup. It means that my wholeness, my ananda, is now superimposed on some object in the world, and now I have to go and retrieve it. I've got to get that back. And that sets me up in this creation, because it's not mithya for me, it's all real. My ananda is out there, and I need that in order to be at peace, to have a full life, to be happy. Otherwise, I'm going to be lonely and empty and isolated, and I can't live in that kind of condition. It's like living in some sort of a hell. So unless I'm able to get this object of desire, create this type of situation for me, I'll be empty and alone and isolated. It goes on and on like that. I'll be ruined, finished. And I have built up all the emotions around that. And so that's the reality of it. And so then it's very important to fulfill that desire, and then people will come in as obstacles, and then all of this kind of dislike and hatred and rage will build up around them, and then there'll be people who are trying to help me, and those people will be my savior. And it just goes on and on, creating this net, you know, like it's an Indrajal, it's little Indra's net of Maya, where I'm just stuck in this creation. Well, that's the setup. That's why desire itself is called the Mahapatma, the great sinner. It just creates havoc for you. And then you can find yourself doing anything, even things that are adharmic for you, that you don't have a value for, just in order to get that thing, because your happiness is paramount, as opposed to loneliness or darkness or emptiness or isolation. Right? And so you will act. Get it? That is the power, the great power of desire. But the vidvat icha, the desire of a jnani, the buddhi of the jnani doesn't buy into any of that. There's nobody believing, even though you find yourself impelled to go in a certain direction, to fulfill a given desire, there's nobody inside that believes that my ananda is at stake or my wholeness is going to be fulfilled by the fulfillment of the desire. In fact, the whole thing is a klesha, as he talks earlier. The whole thing is rather burdensome. I would rather not be disturbed by the desire in the first place, but there it is. That's the prarabdha karma. And so we go about doing all of that, but not with any conviction that this is satyam, that this whole samsara is satyam, is real. Rather, we see the whole thing as mithya, because we know that the ananda that is being flashing its light out here is nothing but myself. And so we see through that whole thing. And so the jnani isn't caught in the same way. Right? That's what he's trying to say. He's going to say it more clearly in this next verse. Dagdabijam arohepi. Dagdabijam arohepi. Bhakshana yopayujyate. Bhakshana yopayujyate. Vidvati cha pyapabhogam. Vidvati cha pyapabhogam. Kuryana vyasanam bahu. Kuryana vyasanam bahu. He says, for dagda bijam, a burnt seed, a seed that's been burnt by dagda bijam, arohepi, even when it's not growing, aroha means to grow, aroha, it's not growing, so arohe api, even when it's not growing, even though it's not growing, bhakshanaya upayujate, it is useful for eating. You know, do you ever saute some sprouts or something? You know? they you've sautéed them, and it makes a nice meal, it's fine, but they can't do anything more than that. You can't go plant them. So even though they can't be growing anymore because they've been burned and fried, still they're good. They're useful. Bhojana, for eating. Bhojana means eating. So he says, vidvat icha, so like this, the vidvat icha, the desire of the vidwan, the desire of the vidvan also, kuryan, it gives upabhogam, it gives a little enjoyment. Vidvas, you know, the desire of a vidvan, you know, as you're going, it gives some enjoyment, it will give you some experience, some enjoyment. But he says, navyasanam bahu, but you know, not much problem. Vyasanam is not much problem, not much misfortune or anxiety or evil. Vyasanam is just a misfortune. It won't give you any misfortune or won't give you much trouble. Huh? The vidvat, the desire of a vidvan, it's not going to, it'll give you some boga, just like the dugdha bija can feed you. The desire of a vidvan can give you some entertainment. Alpa means a little. Alpa boga. It'll give you a little enjoyment. But it's not going to give you much trouble. That's the thing. It won't give you much trouble. The other side of desire is krodha. Right? We have the kama krodha. The other side of desire is krodha. This krodha part is not going to really be there. Because everything is mithya. In other words, you don't at all believe in even the efficacy of the desire. Having the desire itself is, in a sense, kind of a nuisance. Why? Because it impels you into all of this type of action, where all along you know that the ananda that the entire universe enjoys, that every object in the universe, if any universe is shining some ananda, the ananda really is just your own swarupa. There is no external ananda. There's no external fullness to be reached or to be had. It's your own being. And when the mind is your mind reflects that, your being, whenever it is relaxed or quiet. And even for Jivan Mukta Farjani, even if the mind is dull or tired or agitated or whatever condition it may happen to be, there's no buddhi there that requires the mind to be in a particular way in the first place, because the swarupananda of my own presence that doesn't require any type of vritti in the mind is where my mind abides. In other words, the swarupananda, the fullness of yourself, is something that isn't dependent upon the vritti, the mind being in a particular way. And that is the moksha. For Jivan Mukta, that is the moksha. The moksha isn't that, oh, my mind is now behaving in a better way. It does behave in a better way. It behaves in a better way because it's not falling for, you know, this delusion of the ananda being external to myself. So when it knows that ananda is not external, it doesn't need to seek it. When it doesn't need to seek it, it doesn't need to have the universe be in a particular way, then the mind feels at home and relaxed. And so that condition of just the mind being at home and relaxed is the preferred condition. Because everything is perfect, no problem. That's a preferred condition. So the desires themselves are kind of a klesha. You know, it's kind of a irritant because it's dragging the mind out and your body out and doing all of this and that. You'd rather just, you know, let the mind just rest at home in the very source of the ananda. So that's the condition of a jnani. So when the prarabdha karma is in operation, which it always is, you're dragged into this and into that, that is fine. You just do it. You do it and some of the desires are fulfilled and you get a little bit of boga, little enjoyment from that, you know, which is nice, fine, it's fun, it's nice, but there's not an expectation. This isn't what you're, this is not, you're not relating to the universe in such a way that you're asking it, you must do this for me, and you must do this for me, and you must do this for me, so that I can be happy. You're simply not asking that from the universe. because your mind is at home in the self, in the source of the ananda. So when you're not asking that of the universe, then these little ichas, the desires that come in the form of your prarabdha karma, vyasanam na, they don't do, it's a vyasanam bahuna, they don't do much damage. They don't cause very much pain. They don't really hurt you much. So, that's the idea. Okay, good. That's enough. Om Purnamidha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.